Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We're making a welcome return to the studio with singer-songwriter, Genoa and Arsenal fan Jack Savaretti. He's got a new album out.
Lovely bloke.
He was on good form, wasn't he? Nice to see him again. We also chatted to James Jelly. James is the Sunderland fan you've been reading about this week, who has gone from Wearside to Wembley for the playoff final tomorrow via Menorca because it was cheaper. He's had quite the adventure and he told us all about it. And we had a bit of a chat, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
As always. So we bring you that. Here's the best bits of today. It's 6 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I went to the Bridge last night for Chelsea against Leicester. It was a real template of Chelsea's season, basically.
Yeah.
20 shots at goal. Two for Leicester, and the game ends up 1-1.
It's a bit Groundhog Day, isn't it?
Oh, it does, yeah. It just drives you mad, really. They played all right, you know. I thought even Lukaku played okay, you know, and if Pulisic had put it in, it would have been a good...
Oh, yeah, miss. I saw that.
A miss.
Yeah, I saw the highlights.
If I was Pulisic's dad, I'd stop tweeting. Stop saying my son should be in the team. Have a look at what he's done in the last three games and then still think if you want to tweet that tweet.
Yeah.
Because honestly, really, they obviously need to do some good recruiting and some good trading, really, once they can, hopefully.
Now, we're going to come on the other games in a moment last night, but the while you were there, you got a bit... Well, I don't know if bored's the right word, but you found other things to do while the game was on.
I was kind of joking with you, but I said to you at halftime, God, that game is so bad, I think I'm going to listen to Fisherman's Blues.
Yeah, that's right. We often have a listen to Fisherman's Blues for clips of the week. And, Andy did say, he said, the game has been so poor, I think I'm going to listen to Fisherman's Blues second half. I said, still, third secured, and you can go to Brentford for the crunch game with Leeds. And you said, true, I'm now fully behind the Environment Agency and their Clean Rivers policy. So you've clearly taken in Fisherman's Blues. So we're just interested, have you ever done anything else during the match while it was actually on? You've gone to the game, but maybe it didn't. Maybe you're 4-0 down after 25 minutes, or for whatever reason, it wasn't quite holding your interest. And you thought, do you know what? I'll get that done while I'm here because I'm clearly not that engaged with the match.
I bet Andy Smart does Wordle when he goes to watch Farnborough.
Your ongoing Wordle battle with Andy Smart. He's doubled down on you, as I said he would. So do let us know. So stuff you did at the game, kind of when the match didn't completely hold your attention. What was it? Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. Yeah, obviously Burnley was the main game, so I relied on highlights for Everton and the score flashes.
But Everton sounded
what
like
a turnaround.
Brilliant game.
Absolutely
it?
Bonkers. And Dele Alli finally paid out. He came on and made a real difference second half, so I was delighted for him.
And Michael Keane's finish, I think he's been watching videos of Erling Haaland. It was very Haaland-like.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm not a big fan of over-celebrating staying up. I mean, you know, all right, I get it.
It's understated. It's relief, Andy. It's not celebrating.
Well,
it's relief.
It's a sort of relief, but I thought it was, you know, the players, and it all looked a bit like they were celebrating. And I think to myself, you know, and Lampard says, this is the best night of my career and all this stuff. I'm not sure about all that. You know, they should never have been in this position.
I know,
with the squad,
but that's not
got
the way you look at it in the moment when you've been 2-0 down at half-time and you win 3-2.
No,
it's
a wonderful turnaround. I'm not saying
up.
That. Yeah, of course.
I can completely understand it.
I sort of can. I think I can understand being pleased. I can't understand over-celebrating something like that.
Well,
when you should
know,
really
God
think
forbid
yourself,
you find yourself in a situation where you've got to, you know, you've got to win on the last day or the penultimate day to stay up. I mean, it's quite alien to you these days.
No, it's true.
Should be quite alien to Everton, really, which is something we will discuss later on with an Evertonian, because this, you don't want this happening again. It's happened a couple of times, isn't it? 2004, 2008. they've gone down to the wire a few times and managed to turn. Was it 90? It was 94, wasn't it, the Graham Stewart game?
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, you know, because yeah. I think it's going to be hard for them next season. I do, you know, they'll do well to keep both Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin. I think other clubs will be sniffing around those two.
Yeah, so we will talk a bit of Everton a little bit later on. So it's in Burnley's hands with their superior goal difference, isn't it? Really. So it's just that matchup of the weekend.
Honestly, I can't see Leeds going to Brentford and getting much. Brentford are good and Leeds aren't.
Really. Yeah, you're probably giving up your Chelsea tickets to your son and his son to go and watch the Brentford game.
Yeah, I wanted my grandson to go, and this will be his third game, and it's good. He's really into it. So I thought, well, I'll let him have my ticket. And
it's a lot riding on your one, isn't it?
Panned for doing that, but never mind.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to do.
And then I'm going to go, and because Brentford Leeds could be quite exciting.
Yeah, absolutely, will be very exciting, I'm sure.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Got some huge games this weekend, including the League One playoff. Sunderland versus Wickham. We'll look at the game from a Wickham perspective later on. But first, you're probably aware of James Jelly. He is the Sunderland fan who realised it was cheaper to fly, or cheaper to get to Wembley from Wearside via Menorca.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very amusing story, but it's also an indictment on how expensive it is to travel around Britain on trains.
No, absolutely like true. He's still in Menorca. I've just seen some tweets from him. He's just tucking into some tapas, reasonably priced. Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon.
Wow. I mean, what an adventure you've had.
It's been amazing.
Yeah. I mean, when did you first realise that this was a viable alternative just to getting a train or a plane down to London?
Yeah. It was last week. I was sitting in the cricket club and all the lads were going down either by coach or train or getting a bus down. And the money they were paying, it was ridiculous. And I thought, I fancy flying. I didn't want to sit on a train. I didn't want to sit on a coach. And when I looked, it was 160 quid, British Airways flight straight down. And then a few, drop downs later, came across this one to Marhon, £23 fly here and then get a connection down to Stansted. And I thought, well, I'll get an overnight stay.
Take you longer to get from Stansted to Wembley.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah. Andy's right. Probably will take you longer to get from Stansted to Wembley. That's a bit of a schlep. No, you get the train at Liverpool Street, you'll be fine. So it's nice. The Sunderland family, I see from Twitter, stepped up. Somebody, another Sunderland fan who lives in Menorca, reached out to you.
He's not a Sunderland fan, he's an Arsenal fan.
Oh, really? Okay.
Charlie McDonnell, just met him on Twitter. He just said, I'll buy you a beer if you're over here. I live 10 minutes away. And he picked me up in his car. And we came to the hotel. We had a beer together last night. And I'm seeing him again today before I fly back. So,
really?
Yeah. And I was saying to him, just, that the people on Twitter have been amazing, arranging lifts for me when I get down there. And, they're stepping up. And we're all coming together.
I mean, you've had a fun few days, but presumably it's cost you now what it would have cost you to get down here, but you have had a holiday, so fair enough.
Yes. I mean, my point has been taken out of context a little bit. Yes, I was saving money on the, and I knew I was going to spend money be in here, but it was the fact I'm having a little mini holiday. I haven't even been here 24 hours and I feel like I've been here 3 days. I've sat in the sun all day, I've had a beer, I've had some tapas. You know,
had a
for
wonderful
50
time. Exactly. It's a shame we've got to go to the football.
Yeah, dip in the pool. You know?
Where have you stayed? What sort of was you? You were in a hostel, weren't you?
I went. Ended up staying in a hotel. In the end. There was a couple of other lads on Twitter that was in the hotel, so I went over to them. So yeah, stayed there, and I've checked out this morning, and now I'm just down Marjon Marina, looking at all the yachts before.
How are you getting back to Sunderland? Are you going back the way you came?
No, I wish I was. I'm getting a lift back up. From London. I'm staying with my grandparents, my family's from down there. So I'm getting a lift back up home.
Did you know Menorca before? Had you been before?
I think I've been before, but I don't know the area well enough to know exactly where I'm going. My whole plan was just to stay overnight. I was just going to find a bar nearby, go for a walk in the morning, and just sleep in the airport. But it closed at half 12 at night, so that went out the window.
And you sold this to the gaffer, to your fiance Victoria, as a cheaper way of doing it. So, thinking with the beers and the tapas, and now the hotel, and has it turned into be a touch more expensive or not?
Of course it has. Yes, the drinks not so much because the hotel I went to, the people that were staying there were all inclusive, so they've been getting me drinks.
It all worked out. Yeah,
so that saved me more money. But no, it has, yes. Yeah, you know, but I'm on holiday. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, I know in the grand scheme of things, it may be more expensive, but, you know, I've came away aboard and I've had a night away. And I've had a good time.
What about the match itself? What are you expecting?
I'm confident this time. I've been nervous before, Charlton, Portsmouth. I wasn't so confident with them. But this one, I think our fans are more up for it. We seem more organised under Alex Neil. And I think we're well up for it, especially with how many fans we're taking. I think, it's going to be a right atmosphere tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, there's jeopardy on both clubs because obviously both clubs want to get out of the division. But there is a desperate, I mean, Wickham have been out, but there's a desperation for Sunderland, I think, to get out of this division.
There is. I know it's, you know, I don't want to say the big club mentality, but I think we're too big of a club to be in this division. We need to be back into the Premier League, but Championship at the very least. So, we need to get up tomorrow. We have to.
It's going to be tight because you had a 3-3 draw at their place, didn't you? They're a good side and with a good manager. It's going to be a tough old game.
That's correct. But I just feel, you know, at Wembley, big open pitch. I just think we'll do it this time. I really do. I think the fans will play their part. I think we're going to win this one.
I think it's going to pens. Sorry, James. It's going all the way. I know Mickey Gray won't be watching. He won't be able to. Will he, our own Mickey Gray? But I just think it's going to be. There's so much riding on this. It's going to be. A nervy. So,
why Sunderland for you? Because you don't sound like a local.
No. I'm from London. But I was Wimbledon growing up, and then they sort of went under to AFC Wimbledon. MK Dons came on the scene, and at that time I was moving up north. So I sort of came up with no club, and I just took the passion of the Sunderland people from the very get-go, you know. They took me under their wing, and just the passion up here is like I've never ever seen before in the northeast for football. So it's been 16, 17 years now since I moved up.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And are you a regular then at Stadium Alight? You go to the games?
Go to the games. I'm not a season ticket holder. It's harder having a family now. You can't sort of have every other Saturday away. But when I can, I go. Also play cricket as well sometimes. So I'm there every other Saturday.
Got a ticket for the match, I take it.
Oh, yes.
Well, brilliant. What an adventure.
Great.
And so what's
great story.
What time's your flight back?
4:45 today.
Okay, this afternoon. So you'll be getting into... So you got the evening in London and then off to the match.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be in Trafalgar Square tonight. I am debating getting a later flight home tonight.
Is that going to cost you any more?
Yeah, well, it's going to cost me an extra £32.
Oh, okay.
But you know, I don't mind. I don't mind paying it. Just have a full day here. But I'll be getting in at like midnight. But I'm going to decide in the next hour.
That'd be a disaster. If all the flights are cancelled, that would be a disaster.
If this one gets cancelled, that's true.
Watch the game in a bar in Menorca.
Is there a Sunderland supporters club, Menorca? Or
I don't know. I haven't heard of one.
No. Well, look, good to talk to you, James. Quite the adventure. Yeah, a good story. And look, enjoy the match at the weekend tomorrow. Nice one.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
James Jelly there. It's Wearside to Wembley via Menorca. And, of course, we'll bring you that game live tomorrow. All the build-up from the Box Park at Wembley. Dan Winland, Ian Holloway. and then we'll bring you the game live. 3 o'clock kickoff, Sunderland versus Wickham. And we'll look at the game from a Wickham perspective a little bit later on. Adrian Durham will be with you tomorrow from 2 to build up to that game.
Exciting, isn't
it? You've been reacting to our chat with Chief Constable Mark Roberts earlier on about the pitch invasions. Start of next season, says Steve, the nervous Leeds fan. All the grounds that have a pitch invasion in the last couple of days should have a one home match behind closed doors, and for every invasion, 2 home games. I think you've almost got to set the parameters before you do stuff like that and give the warning. This is coming from James, the Forest fan. Paul and Andy, we just want to say, as Forest fans, we are disgusted by the idiot at the City Ground on Saturday. We all love Billy Sharp. 24 weeks imprisonment in our eyes was not enough. Just a note, Forest fans have put together a Just Giving page to raise money for a charity of Billy Sharp's choosing. It has raised £13,500 so far for a children's hospice in South Yorkshire. Yeah. Please share this. We're happy to do that. I mean, I think we all are aware that Forest fans generally are good people, and he was an outlier. So it's a lovely touch by the Forest fans. I'm sure it's appreciated by Billy Sharp.
He must really regret it, though. What a stupid thing to do. I mean, he's a season ticket holder. They could be in the Premier League. He's going to be banned for 10 years. He won't be able to go to the club. I mean, he must be sitting there thinking, what?
Could be missing out on watching him in the Premier League, potentially. Yeah, absolutely. Dan the Villa fan says, guys, just a thought, why not block off the first 3 or 4 rows of the stadium to help slow down or prevent the surge of fans entering the field, giving Stewards Police a chance to get into a position to stop that surge of fans? Well, I suppose if you're talking about League One playoffs and stuff, or League Two, that's a lot of revenue you're giving up. I mean, I know there's a trade-off. And as we mentioned to the Chief Constable there, that, you know, Andy Holt saying today, this is a kind of a revenue disaster for clubs, because they're going to have to up stewarding, up policing, and if you start taking out 3 rows of seats right along the ground, that shouldn't be necessary. You wonder if kind of, look, if actually going onto the field of play is an offence, you do wonder whether it's almost like a lottery, you know. So if you go out on the field, you could be arrested, you'd probably be cautioned. But still, there's still a police caution that you could do without. And you've got no... Because, as Mark told us, it is illegal just to be on the field of play. I mean, we don't want to be the fun police, but by the same token, the sort of things that are going on, we do have to do something about it. We can't just say, well, you know, the worst isn't going to happen, don't worry about it, because we've seen some incidents this week that are really worrying. So you can keep reacting to that. Your thoughts... TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Just a very quick one. Where's that one? Somebody had a suggestion. Where's it gone? It'll come back to me. Oh, yeah, simple for me. Bring the players to the tunnel, then blow the whistle in big games, says Ben from Birmingham, who's a Villa fan. Yeah,
somebody else suggested that.
The only thing is, though, the minute you see the referee usher the players on that side of the pitch, people will run on the pitch because they'll know. Also, you know, it only takes a second to score a goal, and you're in a playoff game with 30 seconds left, and you'll be, I'm not standing there. The keeper, you know, what if you don't play that game? What if you're that one player that stays on the right wing?
It's a bad
and it comes to you, and the goalkeeper's already run towards the tunnel. The game's still being played.
You can't do that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Happy Friday.
Storm outside, let's dance right through the rain. Dancing through the rain, dancing through the rain, us against the hurricane, let's dance right through the rain. Oh, 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 oh. That's Dancing Through the Rain by Jack Savaretti from his new album, which is out today. And very pleased to say Jack makes a welcome return to the studio. Good to see you again, Jack.
Great to see you guys too. I'm really good, man.
It's been
a while,
obviously. We had a 2-year enforced break.
That's true, which
is when you wrote this album. And a lot of it written in lockdown. But despite that, and despite everything that's going on and maybe everybody's mindset, it's a very upbeat album, isn't it?
Well, it was kind of the soundtrack to the perfect soundtrack to the holiday we couldn't go on. And it was sort of, I was with my kids at home, and I really, what really struck me was I wasn't able to give them the memories that I had when I was their age. And having an Italian father, for me, that was going to Italy for the summer. I was living in London, but the summers, to me, represented the Mediterranean. So I tried to bring the Mediterranean into our house. And by doing that, I discovered there's this, I hate to use the word genre, but there is a certain genre of music in Europe from the 60s up until now that has never really been acknowledged as the same thing. And I started listening to all this stuff that I associated with my holidays, and I realized maybe there is something in this. I'd really like to celebrate European music in a way it hasn't been celebrated before. And
so that, who are those artists?
Well, that goes, it's pretty varied. I mean, it goes from sort of Serge Gainsbourg and, you know, Julio Iglesias to Daft Punk, Giorgio Moroder, Phoenix, all these kind of French pop, ABBA you throw in there, and all this various stuff. You know, you can go from Gypsy King to ABBA. Mm. That's European music. But it's always kind of associated with glamour, escapism, heat, summer, and the Mediterranean. I really associated a lot of it with the Mediterranean. So I just thought this would be really fun, especially in a time of lockdown where looking out the window was just not enough anymore, that I thought, let's try and create some escapism with this.
Wow. Are you going away in the summer? Going to Italy?
I am. I'm going to Italy next week, like in 2 weeks, actually, which I can't wait, to Portofino, which is where a lot of this, the artwork for the album was made, because that's where I grew up. It's in my family. We're from Genova, which is that part of Italy. And so it's a very close place to my family's heart.
Yeah, lovely. You are a Genoa fan. I mean, you're an Arsenal fan. This is your English club.
Yeah, I always say I'm a Genoa fan, but I follow Arsenal.
Right. And you were telling some very interesting stuff about Genoa. Andy and I went out and did various things with David Platt when he was at Sampdoria. Yeah. So we've been lucky to go there, and it is a beautiful place. You said it's a kind of well-kept secret. It gets a bit of tourism, but it's not overly exposed, is it?
It is a great-kept secret. And also Genoa as a team, I mean, it's heartbreaking, and I say that having just been relegated, which is really, really heartbreaking, I have to be honest. But this is the oldest football club in Italy. Mm. It's actually Genoa CFC, Genoa Cricket and Football Club, founded by an English doctor. And it is actually the reason why Italian football players refer to their coach as Il Mister, because they had an English coach. Wow. So they were referring to him as Mister. And there's an amazing story behind it. There's a great book called Calcio. I'm sure you've read all about this area.
Yeah.
And the whole section on Genoa is incredible, because the coach, being English when the war started, had to sort of escape because the fascists didn't want him there. So he escaped. I believe he lost his wife in a camp. I could be wrong on this. But he actually came back after the war, took over the team again, and won the Scudetto. I mean, we've won 9 times. So historically we were great, but unfortunately now we're back in Serie B.
How did the Genoa Cricket Club get on this year? Do we know?
they still won
the league.
They still go. They're the only club in the league. Cricket never really caught on in Italy.
Yeah,
that's true.
Obviously, you must have missed playing live, getting out there and playing in front of audiences as well, like every artist, I guess.
Yeah, we just did a UK tour, and I have to say it was the most wonderful experience, the most emotional we've ever been during a tour. I think we took a lot of this for granted before, you know, like a lot of things in life we took for granted before lockdown. But I really noticed that from my professional side of life, we really took for granted like what it means to see a crowd of people that have traveled by any means to be in a room with you so that you can entertain them for an hour and a half. I did used to take that for granted. I'll admit it. I mean, I definitely took it too lightly compared to now. Now I see it, and the gratefulness that we felt, that the crowd felt, and that created a very, I hate to use the word energy, but it did. It created an amazing atmosphere where we were all just so grateful to be there, back doing what we love, and the crowd back doing what they love, which is listening to live music. So it was very special.
Got a few dates left, which is good.
There are a few dates left. We're going to be doing some festivals here in the UK. You probably know better than me because you've got the cheat sheet.
I've got it right there. So, yes. Off the top of my head, I believe Hampton Court Palace is sold out. Oh. We are at Lytham, Carlisle, Halifax, that's in June, dates in June.
Yeah.
Inverness, Real, Henley in July, Sunderland, who we've been talking about earlier, in August, and ending up in Hampshire at Carfest.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing. We love doing Carfest. We saw Chris this morning and he's very excited about it already. So Carfest is always a great day out, so that's going to be cool. And then we're doing Europe in the fall. And then we're doing, I mean, I'm very lucky. We had to move my Italian dates. We have about 10 dates in Italy, and we had to move them a few times, and they put them in December, which seemed like a good idea until we realized the World Cup is in December. But we're not going to be there. So Italy's not in the World Cup. Unbelievable. Hopefully people will actually come to the show, because I think we would have been playing to empty theaters had we made it to... I'm trying to find the silver lining.
Right.
I'm trying to find the silver lining of not being at the World Cup.
You drafted in some interesting musicians to work on this album as well, including Nile Rodgers came and worked on the track with you.
Because what a lot of people don't realize is Nile really changed the face of European music. When he came over to live in Italy, funnily enough, near Portofino, he played in this club in Santa Margherita called Covo Nordovest, which my father actually used to go to when he was a teenager, and he saw Nile Rodgers there playing. And Nile Rodgers came over as the musical director for a lot of these clubs in Rome, in Porto, in this area, in the, on the coast, all the cool summer clubs. And all the he said there was all these Italian musicians that were begging him to teach them how to sort of sound like Barry White's band and to sort of get that groove. And he introduced them to disco, funk, and groove. And that ended up changing a lot of the sound of Italian bands, which then changed French bands and German bands. He lived in Berlin for a while. So single-handedly, he changed European music. And I wanted to kind of bring him in as the godfather of Europeana. And when I suggested this to him, I thought either he's going to hang up the phone and this was a bad idea, or he's going to back it up. And he loved it. And so he came on board. He gave me the sort of seal of approval. And that gave me the confidence to make what is essentially a concept album called Europeana.
He's on Who's Hurting Who as well.
He's on Who's Hurting Who,
which we're going to play in a minute. And so I'm interested, when you've got someone like that, and you know he's got a very distinctive sound, and you bring him in because you want what he brings, but in your head and in the producer's head, you've got an idea what you want. So do you say to him, just do your thing, Nile, or do you play him the track, or, I mean, what's the process?
I mean, I would never tell Nile Rodgers what to do.
It must be, because you've got a vision of it, but it was quite difficult to say, yeah, not bad, but could you just do it again?
This time with feeling.
Could you make it slightly less funky? Yeah,
well, I mean, at the amount of times in a studio that I've said, can I try putting some Nile Rodgers style guitar down?
Yeah.
You know, we've all done that and failed miserably. That's exactly how this came up, because I suggested that. And the guy I was working with, a guy called Mark Ralph, wonderful producer, said, why don't we reach out to Nile and see if he'll do it?
Wow.
And that's when you know things are going better in your career, when people make suggestions like this. So I said, yeah, sure. So we actually wrote to him initially. And then you go to Nile to get Nile. You know what I mean? So we always knew that he was going to. And also, like a true pro, he sends you a lot of stuff.
Right.
He doesn't just do one take and say, I'm done. He sent us an abundance of material for us to then kind of go through. So it was a true honor. But then he became a bit of a mentor, because then lockdown was there and we spoke quite a bit. And he was the one that really gave me I use the word courage lightly, because it wasn't exactly, you know, that brave putting out an album. But he gave me the courage to do something that I believed in, which was sort of celebrating a whole genre of European music in one album.
We're awaiting news on Harry Kane and just how sick he is and whether he can play on Sunday. As a man who follows Arsenal, you'll be hoping he's not feeling too good. Not that bad, but
I hope Harry's fine. Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't wish ill on anyone, especially live on radio. Maybe when the mics are on.
He's giving it to Son as well.
Yeah, no.
Has he?
No. Look at that.
Breaking news.
Just immediately. How has he? Punch in the air.
Oh man.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, it's going to be an amazing weekend. It's an incredible weekend. I mean, the Premiership really, and this is as a heartbroken Serie A man, where the Serie A has really lost a lot of its magic. The Premiership is on fire this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all coming down to the last weekend.
It's great, isn't it? Because we've had years recently when there was nothing to be decided on the last day. So we've got top four.
To play for,
The title and indeed relegation.
That's awesome.
I think third place has been secured.
Oh, I think it has. Yeah, narrowly last night while you were listening to a radio show.
Yeah, that's
not true. So we are going to play Who's Hurting Who with Nile Rodgers featuring on guitar. I take it you played guitar. He wasn't on the drums, was he?
He played guitar. I know. We mixed it up a bit. He's on the flute.
Well, you'd be on my album, but we'd like you to play the flute. That's the only thing. Well, good to see you again, Jack.
We wish you well, guys.
The album and
thank
the
you
single.
So much, man.
We played Dancing Through the Rain, Europeana. Encore is the album. That's out today. And we'll play Who's Hurting Who. We'll catch up with you soon.
You guys are too kind. Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy last night, he wasn't completely engaged with the game between Chelsea and Leicester. It seemed to be heading the same way as a lot of games. Lots of chances, but just the one goal. So he decided to listen to our good friend Nigel Botherwell and Fisherman's
really
Blues.
Stop saying this.
Well, you can listen to that while the game's on.
I could have done, but I didn't.
And you've been telling us the other things you did while the match was on. I was at a Hearts match in 2010. I had a season ticket in the main stand, says Kenny. There was an old bloke sat in front of me. We were having a half-time chat. And I noticed what appeared to be him sort of scribbling away at something. So I said, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm sorting out my repeat prescription. So during the match.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Killy versus Hearts. Have we got any others of those? Guys, just, that was about how to stop crowds getting on the pitch. What else have we got here? White Hart Lane in the early 80s, there was about six supporters. In the 85th minute, we would play pass the parcel with a hat. Each time there was a free kick, corner, etc., the hat would pass on, with 5p being added. The winner was holding the hat at full time, says Don.
Not a bad idea.
That's a nice idea, perfect.
I want to wish Mike Dean a happy retirement. His last game at Chelsea on Sunday. The fans have been speculating over how many red cards he's going to give out, but I don't think he will. And,
no.
I've always... Of course, like all refs, he's infuriated all of us, but I've always enjoyed the way he referees.
Yeah.
So
best I think we're going to miss the guy standing down for all, you know. But we saw what Steven Gerrard had to say about John Moss the other day and Martin Atkinson, etc. And everybody, because it's such a fast game.
I won't be missing John.
But they're really experienced guys. And, there's not lots and lots of people waiting to step
difficult.
Up and fill that void. So there are some good young refs, definitely. But we'll have to see. Mr. Kavanagh, I'm a big fan of. I think he's a brilliant young ref.
Yeah, he's a good ref.
He's doing Tottenham Norwich at the weekend.
Oh, yes, your favourite.
Tremendous ref. And,
I've always been a big fan.
Every confidence in him. Harry Kane's running around the field with a bucket. I hope they do allow that during the match. Anyway,
I've really been enjoying Matt Scott's graphs, which prove that Arsenal actually won the league this year.
Oh, okay.
If you've seen them, they're really marvellous.
I haven't seen those, Andy. I look forward to it.
Good.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. You can keep telling us about some of those other things you did while the game was going on. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. We spoke to James Jelly earlier on. He is the Sunderland fan who has gone to Wembley from Wearside via Menorca because it was cheaper. He was telling us that he can't be a season ticket holder because of family issues. And, he can't give up every other weekend of football with a young family. And Mark on the M62 said, I thought James was quality. He can't have a season ticket and he can't go to football every other week because he's got a family, but he can clear off on a 3-day bender to Menorca, have a night in Trafalgar Square, and then go to the match.
Even playing cricket every week is a very demanding.
Yeah.
Have you saw this? Finally, this photo of Eric Ten Hag arriving in Manchester or leaving Manchester HQ. It's all green. I don't know if he's a massive fan of green.
I just think it was a bit of a tint on the photo, wasn't it? He's in all green.
Looks like he's wearing a green suit in a green car. I don't know if United second gets going
Paddy
to be.
Paddy Power got hold of him already. It's fantastic, isn't it? Didn't take him long to sort that sponsorship deal out. Maybe he's off to Celtic after this. Who knows? Possible.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Time then for a week of sport on TV. As always, in the company of the King of Overnights, Martin Kellner joins us. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, boys. You okay?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. I think we're going to start with on a serious note, aren't we?
Very
with the drama
note.
During the week. Jim White was talking to. Talking about this during the week, yeah. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, Floodlights, it was a drama on BBC Two, a very tough watch, I have to say. Not because, normally it's a tough watch because you're tense about what might happen. This was very harrowing because you knew what was going to happen and exactly how horrendous it was. Basically, it's the story of Andy Woodward, who was the guy who, former Sheffield United and Bury defender, he went public on the abuse that he'd suffered as a young footballer and very much opened the floodgates for lots and lots of players, young players, who'd been abused at that stage in their career. And as I say, difficult to watch, but well covered, I have to say, because the full horror of it clearly wasn't shown on the TV. But later Andy Woodward made a statement to the police, and it's covered in that. He goes through exactly how horrendous it all was on a daily basis from this monstrous character, Barry Burnell. There's been a bit of criticism because it doesn't cover the whole, it doesn't cover the story of all the other victims. There were lots of victims. They're not covered. It doesn't cover the story, really, of the football people, managers, etc., who turned a blind eye or really didn't want to know about what was going on, although that is hinted at actually in the early scenes in the drama. But it's very much about Andy Woodward and the fact that he was a tortured character later on in life. He was playing, we start off seeing him playing for Bury. Neil Warnock was manager of Bury at the time. And, you know, Neil Warnock, lots of fine qualities, but not the guy you would look for nuanced treatment, or anyone in football really at the time, Football Manager, for nuanced treatment of a psychologically damaged player, really. But physically, they get very close to Neil Warnock. Danny Taylor was the Guardian journalist. His story's in it as well. Mm. He was the guy who persuaded Andy Woodward to go public on this. Great performances all round. Gerard Kearns as the adult Andy Woodward, and it covered very much the sort of haunted character that he had in those days. Jonas Armstrong as the horrendous Barry Bunnell. And you saw, you know, in the early stages of the drama, you saw the grooming process where he gets to know the parents and gets to become friendly with the parents of Andy Woodward. And it's all very believable. Yeah. You know, you don't find yourself thinking very much, you know, why did they let Barry Bunnell have such contact? Because you could see what was going on. So, you know, great performances that, because it's hard, I think, to, you know, to make a drama about such a horrendous case.
Sure.
And the kid as well, Max Fletcher, who played young Andy, very, very good. And it's sort of, the BBC are currently making a drama about Jimmy Savile with Steve Coogan.
Yeah.
And people have thought, what? You know, because we know Steve Coogan as Alan Partridge and all that. But it sort of fills you with a certain amount of hope that it's going to be a worthwhile, you know, piece when it eventually appears. So
a difficult really watch, but an important one, and very well done, you tag.
Brilliantly done. I would say brilliantly done. It's on the iPlayer now. It was on TV on Tuesday.
Yeah.
A lot of people would have missed it because they were actually watching football on other channels. But well worth seeking out on iPlayer.
Drink It In, the Manchester City documentary you've been watching on Sky.
Yeah, really good. Enjoyed that as well. I'll tell you what I enjoyed about this particularly. The sort of testimony of the players who were at City as it was changing, as it, you know, about 2008, 2009, realizing that that I think it was Micah Richards who said, "I realized they were bringing better players in," which, you know, for the fan, great. You know, Robinho has been signed, etc., etc. But for Micah Richards, his immediate thought was, "Better players are coming now. Am I going to be out of the team?" And Nedda Manoa as well, who was saying, you know, he realised it was time to move on because the team. And he has a great anecdote about he's passing the ball to, I can't remember who it was. Yeah, he's passing the ball to David Silva. Mm. But basically, he doesn't pass to him because there's somebody on David Silva's back.
Mm.
And David Silva comes to him afterwards and says, "Why didn't you pass to me?" And he said, "Well, I saw there was somebody on you." He says, "No, that's exactly when I want you to pass to me, because obviously I can, I can get round the player."
Yeah.
Because it was that, just that sort of upgrade in the quality of players that City were bringing in when the
a bit like Newcastle players, I should imagine.
Yeah, I think it's that's a similar scenario. At the moment,
there'll be players at Newcastle now thinking exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, when it was fun, and Noel Gallagher's in it, and you can always expect a colourful take on the situation from him. He said Manchester City was a club continually swirling and about to go down the toilet. Which was an interesting, you know, he's talking obviously about the relegation in 1996. Yeah. So all that's covered. I think it was initially scheduled on Sky for immediately after the West Ham match, which seemed to be a bit unfair because they were clearly expecting City to murder West Ham last week. And But it'll be shown plenty on Sky. If you're a Manchester City fan, well worth watching.
We've got a minute or so, Martin. Can we do justice briefly to the Paul Merson documentary that you watched?
Yeah, of course you can. The amusing thing about it was he's walking through. It's very nice if you want. I mean, the Paul Merson story, again, is very, very well covered. It's been on the TV several times, so we know the story. But he walks through the North Yorks moors, going to Hutnally Hole, Gillamore. Beautiful. You know, if you want to see the North Yorkshire moors, absolutely brilliant. But he's looking at the at the landscape there, and he says, "I don't know what all that stuff is." And a caption comes up on the screen saying Heather. Huh? So it sort of gives.
Why does he go to Hutnally Hole? I think that was the birthplace of Bob Paisley. I think because that's where my wife's dad was from. So he goes up into Durham. He goes, why is he up in Durham? It doesn't really feel like Merson country, really.
No, it's not. I think that's the thing. There's a lot of therapy speak in it. Obviously, he talks about, you know, I'm in the present now, and all that sort of thing. In the moment, he says, I'm in the moment, I'm present.
As opposed to us doing in the past.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. I think it's just one of the ways that they like to do travel shows these days, and presumably Ramesh Ranganathan wasn't available, so or Miriam Margolis any of those other people, and so they chose Merce to do it.
Okay,
why not?
Sounds good.
You know,
I'll check it out. It sounds a bit different. Okay,
It's on the iPlayer as well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We will do it all again on Monday when we'll know who's won the league, who's gone down, who's finished in the Champions League places.
Absolutely.
And lots more besides. So have a great weekend, and we will catch up with you on Monday.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.